I don't know whether, as we sing this song, you notice anything about it. It's actually a song that, in some ways, feels slightly awkward to say. It's actually a song that a Jew or a Muslim or a Christian could sing. It's a song that would work for numerous religions. It talks about God being big and strong and mighty. It talks about him owning, creating the rivers, the mountains, and the stars. Numerous people from numerous religious backgrounds could sing this song. I find that quite interesting. Maybe we shouldn't sing it as a Christian church, perhaps. I think we can sing it because it's true and good, so we'll keep on singing it. But it is interesting to observe, isn't it, that we're singing a song that people from other faith backgrounds could also sing. That introduces, in some ways, our Don't All Religions Lead to God topic and the question we're thinking about this morning. And to think about this question, we're gonna try and unpack the question a little bit, consider some of the ways in which people think about this question, and then we're going to seek to listen to Jesus as he gives us an answer to this question. I'm going to take Jesse because Lizzie's going to read. Or shall I just read?
Yeah.
I'll just read. There's another baby here if you want to do a creche. Up to you, really. If you could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's on page 1082. It will help you to have a Bible, and it will help you to have that open in front of you, because I want us to see Jesus' answer to this question about whether all religions lead to God. Yeah, come and read, Lizzie. It's here. You can read from here. So John chapter 14, 1082. Is that on?
Yeah, great.
John chapter 14, 1-7.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Thank you. That's John chapter 14. And Jesus speaking, and he says, I wonder if you noticed what he said. He said in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I want to be really upfront this morning. Before we get going and consider more about this, I want to be really upfront this morning and say this. Jesus says, all religions do not lead to God. Jesus makes that claim this morning. All religions do not lead to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to God except through me. And so in some sense, don't all religions lead to God? No. Let's pray and go home. Let's say a little bit more than that. I think we can say a little bit more than that. So let's have a look a bit further at this question. Don't all religions lead to God? Each religion offers a way to God. Each religion offers a truth about God. Each religion offers something of a description of what life will be like in the future after death. Now, the idea that all religions lead to God is a very common and popular one. My barber is from Turkey. He has a background in Islam. He would describe himself as somebody who's Islamic by heritage, but not particularly committed to Islam. He thinks that me, I've tried to tell him otherwise, but he thinks me and him believe in the same God. Just last week, I was with a friend at a birthday party for Jesse, one of Jesse's friends, a first birthday party, and I was talking to this friend who's got Jewish heritage, isn't a particularly committed Jew, but has Jewish heritage, and he said to me, how does your being a pastor in a church with your Christianity fit with the idea of other religions? And so we had a long conversation about what I think Jesus teaches about him being the only way to God. And he was slightly taken aback and said, well, I kind of think they all go to the same place. They all lead to God. Maybe you've heard a similar thing in your schools. Hands up if you have had RS lessons. And perhaps in your schools, your teachers have said, well, lots of people have different ideas about God, and there's different religions, and really they all kind of lead to the same place. Anybody heard that kind of thing in school? Yeah? No? Different. What have you heard in school, Josh? What have you? Can you remember what your RS teacher said about different all the religions? No, don't worry. It's hard to remember what happened at school, isn't it? It's a common idea, though. It's so common that actually a few weeks ago, the Pope, who's supposed to be the head of the faithful Catholic Church, was at an interfaith forum, so a group of people from different religions all meeting together, and he was sat on the stage with some people from different religions, and he said, what I love about other religions is they have similarities to my faith, and all religions are a path to God. The Pope said that. So it's a really common idea that all religions lead to God. The Pope used a fairly common, famous concept, idea. And he used this idea that religions are like, the different religions are like different paths up the same mountain. So can you imagine a mountain? Benji, can you imagine a mountain, a big mountain? There's different paths up the mountain, and when you get to the top, you meet God. Okay, here's my mountain. Here's my mountain. And the idea is this. The idea of this concept is that Islam is one religion, and it leads to the top, leads to God. And Christianity is another religion, and it's a different path to the top. And Judaism is another religion, another path to the top. And then all the other religions have different ways of getting to the top, but all lead to the same place. And so you've got a kind of you've got a Hindu path and a Buddhist path, and they all get to the top. That's the idea, and it sounds nice. Except it doesn't work. Shouldn't have drawn them there, really, should I? You could have just imagined it, and then I wouldn't need to fail at rubbing out the paths. Different paths up the same mountain is the common claim, the common popular belief. All the different religions are like different paths up the same mountain. I'm going to need some help to just try and help us illustrate this. Perhaps it's Mikey, Michael, and Josh, could you help me? And Benji, could you help me? I've got some instructions for you that I want you to follow, okay? Why don't you two work as a team? And if you start over there, you start over by the door, the fire extinguisher over there, and you go with Josh and work as a team with Josh. And Benji, you start over there as well and follow the instructions for me, okay? Can you do that? If you get confused, you can ask me what they say. Follow Josh. Well done, that's good. Yeah, good. And now you need to go to the piano and say hello to the piano. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Come on then. Climb over that, yeah, that's it. Say it nice and loud. Say hello. Hello. And then you have to come over here. And you have to knock twice on here. Do a big good. And then you have to go and stand on the stage. Yeah. What does the last one say? Go on then, up here. Go and stand on the stage. Go on up there. Up you can. What did the last instruction say? What did your last instruction say? Did it say the same thing? Go and stand on the stage? Yep. Well done. You followed the instructions. You had different instructions, but they've led you to the same place. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Yeah. How lovely. And the concept of this different paths up the same mountain is this. Different instructions, different ways of doing it, different ways to go. But in the end, you get to God. That's the concept. And the trouble is, and we'll see this in a moment as we think about the different religions, is it just doesn't work as simply as that. We're going to try another set of instructions, okay? And I'm going to ask Sharon to help Benji. And you guys can do that one. Huh? You think you can read it? Okay. So start in the same place. Hello. Hello. Mikey. Let's do it with Josh. You hold the instructions. You hold the instructions. Come down here. You hold the instructions and read them with Josh. What does it say? Start by the doors and walk over to the piano. Walk over to the piano. Look over there. You can walk across the stage. This way, Mikey. Michael, this way. This way. Walk over to the piano. That's it. Good job. What does it say next? Oh, press one of the keys on the piano. Press one of the keys. Anyone? Just press. That's it. Oh, very good. Well, what does it say next? Walk up to the sound desk. Josh will show you where it is. That's it. Good. What does it say next? Have you got to the end of your instructions? Yeah, good. Okay. I don't know where these guys are going. Have you got to the end of your instructions?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're... Okay. They've got to the end of their instructions. It seems to me they're just in, frankly, quite different places. As they've followed the instructions they've been given, as they've walked the path they've been given, they've ended up in two drastically different places. Can we see that? It's a long-winded way of getting there, wasn't it? But we got there. We're in two. You can come back. Here's the point, okay? Here's the point. All the different religions are actually different paths, if we're going to use the mountains analogy, different paths up different mountains. Okay, so this idea that different religions are the different paths up the same mountain is just logically impossible. There is much more accurate to say they're different paths up different mountains. Don't all religions lead to God? No, they lead in different directions, in fact. And so we're just going to have a quick look at the ways in which these four or five different major religions describe the path to God and the way to get to him. So we said each religion offers a way to God, a truth about God, and a sense of the life to come. And so Islam tells us the way to God. And so the way up the mountain, if you like, in Islam is to do good deeds. To get to the top of the mountain, you need to have good deeds that outweigh your bad deeds. And then the hope is that the truth about God, Allah, at the top of the mountain, the hope is that he will allow you to enjoy life in paradise. That's essentially the Islamic mountain. You climb the mountain, the path, by good deeds. That's the way. The truth revealed by Islam about God is that his name is Allah and he is one. And crucially, we're told that he has no son. That's interesting when it comes to comparing it with Christianity. And the future life on offer for those who follow Islam, supposedly, is paradise. So there's one mountain. But to say that other religions are different paths up the same mountain is to say that Allah and, let's take Hinduism and Buddhism, which is a bit of an unfair joining together of two different religions, but never mind. It's to say that Allah and Brahman are the same. If you go up the mountain, you get to God, who is Allah and Brahman. But the two religious texts reveal those two gods to be completely different. The hope, the future life on offer in Buddhism and Hinduism is reincarnation and hopefully peace. And the way to get that is karma. Really different to obeying Allah and trying to do good works. A different mountain, I would say. Take Judaism. The God revealed in Judaism, the truth in Judaism about God, is his name is Yahweh. He wants you to obey the law. And if you obey the law, you can trust him to allow you entry into the new creation. Again, really different. A description of revelation about who God is compared to Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism. Not a different path up the same mountain, different paths up different mountains. And then again, where lots of people would say Christianity and Judaism, well, they're basically the same, they're same roots, basically the same God. What we find in the Bible as Jesus reveals the truth to us is that the way to God in Christianity is through Jesus. The truth about God in Christianity is that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the offer of life is in the new creation with God. And I hope this table on the screen, which looks a bit exciting, just captures something of the variety amongst these four or five major religions. They offer different paths. Different paths to different gods. Essentially, different paths up different mountains. And just as the boys helpfully illustrated, those different paths lead to drastically different places. And so to say that they're all going to the same God is actually to do an injustice to all of them. If I say to a committed Jew, as a Christian, I worship Jesus, that committed Jew will reply, don't do that. Jesus is not God. He does not deserve your worship. To worship Jesus is to worship a false God, a non-God. And Yahweh will not welcome you if you worship Jesus. That's what a Jew would say. Likewise, a Muslim, if I say to a Muslim, I worship Jesus, they'll say, don't do that. Only worship Allah. And so what you've got there is different paths up different mountains. So what of Jesus' claim to be the way, the truth, and the life? Well, I think Jesus' claim is helpful because what we end up with is a guessing gap. So only one of these religions can be true. And we're in a guessing gap, which I don't know if you've heard of this imaginary story. There's an imaginary story of four people who are blind. So imagine four blind people, and they're searching for God. They're searching for God, and they're kind of using the senses that they have. They're using their hands to try to feel around and find God. And each of them finds something and grabs hold of it and seeks to describe what they found, and they call it God. And so the first person, blind person, goes up to this this thing, finds this thing which is really thick and hard and wide and solid, and goes, God is like a tree. God is like a tree. And the next person comes up and finds this long, thin, scaly thing, and is like, God is like a snake. And the next person goes up and finds, pushes against this big, wide, wally kind of solid thing, and is like, I found God. God is like a wall. He's dependable. And the final person goes up and feels around and finds this sharp, long thing, and is like, I found a spear. God is like a warrior. And all of them are guessing. All of them are straining in the dark because they can't see. And each of them has found something, but each of them is wrong. And humanity are a bit like that with God. We end up guessing because there's a gap between us and God. And the gap between us and God is caused by sin, as we turn our back on God and walk away and close our eyes to him, we can no longer find him. And so in some sense, all the world's different religions are groping in the dark, making up truths to try and find and explain God, a bit like these men or women who are blind in the story. So where does it leave us, if that's true? If we're like blind people guessing? What do the blind people need in the story? As they find these different ways of describing God and they're touching it and describing it, what do they actually need? What do you think they've found? What does that look like? Each blind man has come up to an elephant. This is a kind of long-told poem about different religions. And the idea is that, they're all kind of finding some truth, and one day we'll understand the whole truth. But the fact of the matter is, each person in the story, none of them actually understand God. And none of them actually know God. None of them really have grasped who God is. They're each wrong as they describe who God is. And what needs to happen for them to really understand who God is in this story? What do you think, Josh? Four blind people trying to find out who God is. What do they need to happen to be able to understand? What would help them?
Believing in him.
Believing in him, yeah? Yeah, what are you thinking?
They need to read the Bible.
They need to read the Bible, yeah? Dami, Emmanuel, any thoughts? What do you think? Four blind people straining to understand who God is. What do you think would help them? If they could see. Yeah, if they could see and have contact. In fact, go one step further. Perhaps if they could see, and perhaps if the elephant could speak. That would be helpful, wouldn't it? That would be helpful. As these four blind people strain around in the dark and try and understand who God is, imagine the elephant speaks. What clarity it would bring to them. What a help it would be to them if the elephant said, guys, you're all wrong. You're all wrong about me. Let me tell you. In fact, let me open your eyes and show you who I am. And the claim Jesus makes this morning in John chapter 14 is that he is the one who is like the elephant speaking. He steps into history as God with us. That's the Christmas claim. God with us to teach us about who God is, to reveal who God is. First, he says he's the way. If we want to get to God, Jesus will help us and be our guide. Second, he says he's the truth. If we want to know who God is, Jesus will reveal God for us. And third, he says he is the life. If we want to experience the life that God has to offer us forever. Jesus is all we need. So let's just consider those three things. As Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What does he mean? Jesus says, I am the way. Now, if we think about the mountain idea, which has pros and cons in itself, Jesus is the way to get to God in two different ways. He is God. Jesus is God, the Son, the eternal Son, and he comes down the mountain to teach us. So it's not that we have to guess about God anymore. Jesus, God in the flesh, steps into history to teach us about who God is. But Jesus is also the way to God in that he deals with the problem that we have of our blindness and our sin. So as Jesus goes to the cross, he takes the punishment for sin that is deserved by all of humanity so that the broken relationship that we have with God can be fixed. Jesus is the way to God in both those ways. Second, he's the truth about God. Throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we meet Jesus and he reveals that he is God with us. When Jesus calms the storm, maybe you're familiar with that story, as the storm rages and the disciples are terrified and think they're going to drown, they wake up Jesus, who's been asleep through it all, and they say, help us, we're going to drown. And he speaks a word and he says, stop. And the storm dies down and the disciples are mouth open, shocked. Who is this man? See, they know that only God can control nature, and they watch this man control nature and begin to realize just who he is. Or maybe you know the story of the paralyzed man. When Jesus forgives his sin, the religious leaders are outraged. Who does he think he is to say that he can forgive this man's sin? Only God can forgive sins. And right there, they've spotted the key thing about Jesus. He is God with us. That's why he's able to forgive the man's sin. And so as we meet Jesus, what we find is the man who is God. And so Jesus is the truth revealing God to us. We don't have to guess anymore. So in the story with the elephant, Jesus both comes and is the elephant speaking, so telling us the truth. But he's also opening people's eyes so that they can see the truth about God. As he walks around, he very much embodies who God is. And then third, he says he's the life. Where other religions offer reincarnation or potential paradise if God is kind to you, through Jesus, certain hope is available. Because Jesus is the author of life and he made it, and because he rose from the dead, he is able to offer life to anyone who trusts in him. As we give ourselves to Jesus, he comes down the mountain to meet us and then takes us to be with God. I wonder if you noticed that in our passage in John 14. Jesus is talking with his disciples and he's explaining that once he's died on the cross, he's going to go and return to heaven to his Father. And the disciples are a bit aggrieved, they're a bit sad, but Jesus says to them, chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And Jesus says to them, you know the way to the place where I am going. And they get confused. They don't understand. They think, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answers them, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus so reveals God the Father to us because he is God, one in essence. And so he can say, if you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. And so Jesus says, I'm preparing a place for you. And this is part of the reason why the mountain idea isn't actually that helpful. Rather than a mountain, it'd be much better to think of a heavenly house, God's heavenly dwelling place. God's heavenly dwelling place, a home with many rooms for all who believe. And Jesus says, I'm returning to the heavenly house that I came from so that I can get it ready for you. And then when it's ready, I will come back and take you with me so that you will be where I am. Every night when I tend to put Jesse to bed, Lizzie gives him some milk, and then me and him go into his room. And if I've been prepared, I've laid his sleep bag on the spare bed, and I carry him into the spare room, his room. and I lay him on his sleep bag. And he used to cry and scream about that. Now he's pretty chilled. Lay him on the sleep bag, pop his arms in, zip it up. He's now trapped because he can't move his legs. And he's also not very tall, so he can't actually get into his cot. The only way for Jesse to get from the spare bed in his room to the cot is for me to scoop him up, carry him over, and put him in his cot. And I enjoy doing that. It feels like a nice moment as we sing a couple of Christian songs together and pray, and then he goes to sleep immediately. The point of that picture for you is this. The only way for Jesse to get from one place to another, to get where he needs to be, is as I pick him up and carry him and put him in the right place. And rather than working our way up a mountain, that is a much more helpful picture of the way that Jesus speaks about rescuing us. All the other religions are, in some sense, that idea of climbing a mountain, working your way up to God in the hopes that you might reach him. And the wonderful thing about Christianity is the way that Jesus comes down, God with us, to pick us up and carry us into the heavenly home that we long for. What a beautiful picture of love and care and compassion. He does not leave us in the dark or leave us to climb the mountain on our own, but he steps down to help us. See, Jesus is clear that not all religions lead to God because he is the only one who is willing to come down and pick us up and take us there. There's no other way to get to God other than Jesus doing it for us. That's the Christian claim. And so if we were to ask Jesus this morning, don't all religions lead to God? He'd say, no, all religions don't lead to God. There's only one way to get to God. If I take you, if you trust me and allow me to scoop you up and through the cross and through my resurrection, allow me to take you to be with God. That's the only hope. I wonder what you make of that. I wonder what your RS teachers would make of that. If you said to them, Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is clear about it. And perhaps you're a Christian here and you think it feels slightly arrogant to make the claim that Jesus is the only way to God. That's okay. In some sense, there's an it's very exclusive, Jesus' claim here. It's a bold statement, but its boldness doesn't mean it's not true. Jesus is the only way to God. As you trust him, rejoice that he is willing to stoop down and scoop you up and take you to be with God. We're going to sing a song in a moment that teaches us, reminds us of the rescue that Jesus performed as he stepped down into history to be our Savior. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Father in heaven, thank you that you have so provided for people through Jesus, that anyone can access God. Anyone can come to God. And yet, Jesus is clear this morning to us that he is the only way to get to God. And so we pray, Father, that you would help us to trust him and know him. And we pray, please, that you would make Jesus clear to people who think there's another way. Please, would people in our community and our neighborhood who think that they can get to God another way meet Jesus and realize he's the only way? And would you give us confidence to declare Jesus is the only way? And as we sing now, would you give us joy and remind us that indeed Jesus is a mighty, mighty Savior. Amen.